Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Just Interesting podcast. I'm your host, Alex, and joining me today, as many people can see, I've swapped out Martin and I've got Indiana Jones, apparently. How's it going, Robin? Back from adventures, I'm sure.
Yes, well, as you accurately reported on the last podcast, and it was just you and Martin, I was gallivanting around looking for Nazi treasures, or treasures that the Nazis had trying to get their hands on. Because as we all know, those documentaries in the 1980s starring Harrison Ford are entirely accurate. Unfortunately, my hat doesn't quite fit over my headphones.
I think we said that you were looking for the Ark of the Covenant or the Holy Grail. Well, did you have to just settle for some Nazi gold in the end, or did you find the Holy Grail?
Well, I caught a train, and turns out trains don't go all the way to the Middle East, so I had to stop in Europe. And there's Nazi gold apparently in Europe.
Fair enough. Well, I mean, anyone listening to this or watching us on YouTube may be able to deduce that that is the topic that we're going to be discussing today. What happened to the Nazi gold? One of history's greatest mysteries, would you say, Robin?
I would actually. Yeah.
I mean, it is and it isn't, because it's in a way, it's kind of self-evident what happens to all the Nazi gold. It was just like frittered and like hoarded all across Europe. But specifically where, Robin? And is there any kind of huge caches of it hidden somewhere that, you know, has been kind of lost to history this whole time?
Well, historians say their estimates of what the Nazis stole and what they've actually found do not add up. So chances are there is still treasure out there to be found.
Very true. Very true. If you're listening to this podcast at a later date on a podcast platform of your choice, you may be wondering, why am I not as cool as Fleet Foxes, Swifto, Taco Cat? These are all people watching us live currently, and you could be one of them. If you follow us over on Just Interesting on YouTube, you can catch our podcasts live, where we'll be doing them live. Like, every week is the aim, but it's like every week or so.
Yeah.
But let us know in the chat how everyone's doing. How are you this fine? I have to check that it's Wednesday, isn't it? It's not Thursday.
It is a Wednesday. It's the middle of the week, which is fine. Everyone knows that's the best time to do a podcast. So
yeah, you're feeling energized. You're halfway through the week. You're ready for the second half. You're into the back end. You don't say it. Don't.
I was about to say, don't. I know how much you like being in the back end.
I knew it, Robin. God damn it.
I admire you for trying to stop me saying that. So thank you. Well done. Congratulations. I'm excited, Alex. I'm excited to be here, to be back talking to you. Sadly, Martin's not here. You know,
where is Martin this week?
I don't know. I tried calling him. You tried calling him. We both went round to his place, which is very convenient for us both, as everyone knows. We live in separate countries. But you know, we went there. His family was missing. There was a note on the door that said, "Leave the milk out the back," and we just don't know what happened to him or the cats.
You know what, Robin? When we make up stories, you've got to try and keep it a bit light. You know, you've got to try and keep it fairly light. Martin's fine, just so everyone knows.
Yeah, we think his family was just visiting him today. You know, it was visiting hours.
Yeah, yeah.
In medium security, they only allow it once a week. So today was the day.
He was, grounds for his parole initially was very clear. You know, it's okay. It's pretty loose parole, but the one thing you can't do is streak again. Okay, you did that before. Yeah. That's the one thing you're not allowed to do. And what did he do? First chance he got?
He streaked.
Yeah, exactly. You can't stop him, really.
It's an unrecognized addiction, I think. That's the problem. The society needs to gather around these streakers, partly to protect people looking at them in public, and partly just to help them overcome their addiction. And, you know, Martin will be at the forefront of the campaign to help streakers. That sounds... Maybe the wording needs to be, we're working on the campaign slogan, but it'll happen one day.
Exactly.
When he's out.
This is a horrible reputation you get when you don't show up on the podcast. This is
I was lucky. I was lucky that you two made up that story about me and Indiana Jones, as opposed to something worse.
Oh, but yeah, no, let us know how everyone is in the chat, and let us know if there's any interesting facts that you've learned this week. I'd be interested to hear if there's any little tidbits of information you can share with me and Robin. But you know what I'm going to ask you now, Robin?
Oh, what is it?
What have you learned this week in your quest for the Nazi gold / Holy Grail / Ark of the Covenant?
Well, and kind of not really related to that, but tangentially connected. Whilst looking into Nazi gold and, you know, exploring Europe, looking for real Nazi gold, I learned that Walt Disney, who, although not a Nazi, and in fact, on Hitler's hit list.
Oh, really? Wow.
That kind of rhymes. Yeah, he was on the Hitler's list of people who had to be punished or whatever once he won the war against America. Walt Disney was, I learned, afraid of mice.
Okay.
Which I thought was kind of ironic. And B, when he originally conceived the character of Mickey Mouse, his idea was to call him Mortimer Mouse.
Oh, no, that's not as good, is it?
No, it's not as good.
It's not as good.
Thankfully, Walt went to his wife, Lillian, who said, Mortimer sounds a bit harsh, a bit lame. How about Mickey? It's friendlier. So he went with Mickey.
You wouldn't call him Mickey Mouse today, though, would you? If he was making Mickey Mouse in 2020, Mickey's like, "Oi, Mickey!" It's a bit kind of EastEnders.
A little bit, but I don't know what the Americans would think of that. It's true, though. In today's world of highly market-researched cartoon creations, goodness knows what Mickey Mouse would have been called.
So he was afraid of mice, and yet his beloved kid's character that he made, was that the first one that he made, Mickey Mouse?
No, it wasn't. The first ones he made were, there was a rabbit and... just Oswald the Rabbit, wasn't it? Do you remember there was a game that came out for the previous generation of consoles? It was Oswald the Rabbit and Mickey Mouse, and they were both in that 1930s style. It's because Disney finally, the corporation that is, bought back the rights to Oswald the Rabbit, which, although Walt Disney created that character originally, he didn't own the rights. The company he was working for owned the rights at the time. And then the company said, we don't want to make these cartoons anymore. So Disney struck out on his own and said, I need to create a new character, which is why Oswald the Rabbit and Mickey Mouse look very similar, because he just took the long pointy ears, made them round.
I've never heard of Oswald the Rabbit. I've never played that game, but that's definitely caught my attention. Did you say that was on the previous generation?
I had it on the Xbox 360. It was a co-op game. And it was, I tried playing it with my wife. It was fun. We didn't get very far because she couldn't quite grasp the controls. And it was a kind of part explorer platformer, part arena combat beat 'em up, but for children, obviously. And she had a gun as Oswald the Rabbit. I didn't, as Mickey Mouse. And she kept shooting me during the combat. So we did not progress very far. Aim needed a bit of work. But I feel bad now. I'm dissing my wife in that Disney children's co-op game that we played about 10 years ago. But that was just that one time.
I tell you what.
Oh, it's cool though. Yeah.
I'm going to steal a little bit of the Super Show podcast's intro now and ask you, Robin, very quickly, just because I'm interested, are there any good games that you've been playing recently?
Good games I've been playing recently.
And for anyone in the chat who do not currently listen to the Super Show podcast, they are friends of ours, and you definitely should go over and listen to them.
Absolutely,
it's an amazing podcast.
100%, really, really good.
If you're into games and stuff,
a great podcast to put on the background and do things in, because it usually goes on for 2.5 to 3 hours, and
they're
you can
committed.
Get a lot done
they're
in the
committed.
Time that you're listening
they,
to it.
They,
fully they do not
go.
Hold back.
Yeah, they go for it.
They really do. Games I've been playing recently. I actually played a game. Weirdly enough, just this morning I remembered that I completed the game last year. Sniper Elite 4, that was it. And I had a sudden memory of playing that. Again, the Nazis, that's what brought it back. I was like, oh yeah, that was a fun game, killing Nazis. I've recently decided to start playing Arkham Knight again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And by recently, I mean today. So I played an hour of that today, and it was good.
It's a good game.
How good that gets off to. That's a good, that game opens really strongly. That's a really good opening to a game. What have you been playing recently, Alex?
Well, for anyone who follows us over on twitch.tv/justinteresting, you'll know that I've been working my way through Elden Ring. I've been role-playing as Dick Turpin with a new character. and that's fun. It is fun. I need to get back into that. Yeah, what else? I think the last thing I replayed was also Arkham Knight. That's kind of, did that inspire you, did you say?
I think it did, yeah. I think it did. Did you complete it?
I did. Very good. Yeah. Really enjoyable. Lovely stuff.
Oh, we'll have to discuss this on a spoiler-free, or a spoilery, sorry, platform at some point in depth, because it's a game worth talking about. Mm. But what did you learn this week, Alex? I want to know your fact.
So this week, I learned about one of Scotland's greatest unsolved mysteries. Have you ever heard of Overton Bridge?
No.
Now, I'm a little bit worried that actually, I feel like I've heard this before. So there is a chance that I've spoken about this in a former podcast, and I'm very sorry if I have. But I've forgotten about this, and then I was reminded about it this week. So this is a bridge in West Dumbartonshire. That was built in 1895 for ease of access to Overton House, which is like a big manor house, supposedly haunted. And there is a horrible kind of secret about this bridge, or horrible truth, that at least once every year, a dog commits suicide off this bridge, or attempts to. This has become known as the Dog Suicide Bridge.
as it would,
which is a very imaginative name, to be honest, and it's not really known why dogs are jumping off this bridge, but there are a few theories. One is that it's haunted by, you know, a white lady ghost that is luring these dogs off this bridge. Another theory is that there are mink in the area and the dogs can kind of smell it, and apparently mink urine, didn't know this before, is very makes dogs go crazy, makes them go wild.
Really?
Apparently
so. I don't know that. Oh. I mean, that's completely new to me. I didn't know that was a thing that could happen to any animal, that the urine of one would send another one crazy.
Yeah.
Useful defense mechanism.
And also, I think just the landscape, the way that it's laid out from a dog's perspective, there's a lot of trees under the bridge. I think from the dog's perspective, they probably don't know that it's 15 meters. There's a 15 meter drop on the other side. They think it's just a wall that they can jump over. And then on the other side, it's not like a flat wall that the dogs are jumping onto. It's a kind of curved wall off. So by the time the dogs realize that... that there's a massive drop, it's too late for them, sadly. It's a very sad strange tale, but the mystery of why the dogs are jumping, it still remains, because this is still a fairly consistent thing, and it's not like there's any other, you know, this doesn't really happen anywhere else in the UK, and there's plenty of other bridges in the UK, so the fact that it's just exclusively happens here is still kind of interesting.
That's very sad and disturbing, but ooh.
Maybe we should take a trip there one time. Bring a dog.
We should. Get a dog. Bring a dog. Bring a dog. Oh, no.
Do in plain sight investigates.
Yeah, we'll set up cameras, different angles. We'll watch it for about 24 hours, maybe 48 hours, depending on our stamina, and see how many dogs take the plunge. And if none do, we'll bring our own.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's have a look at the comments. What are people saying?
We've had some interesting comments. Quantum Pancakes, I think before we even tried to explain what Martin was doing, said, Martin's in jail again. So, you know, Quantum Pancakes, you know Martin too well. That's you just know him far too well.
There's a great fact from Taco Cat this week.
Oh, yeah.
Who says, my fact this week is Cleopatra lived closer to the invention of the iPhone than she did to the building of the Great Pyramid. That is wild, isn't it? I'm like, yeah, that's true. That's really puts history in perspective.
I love that kind of fact. There's another thing, that kind of fact, putting people into their context temporally, chronologically, and then geographically. When you say, at the same time as this was happening in America, this was happening in China. And you just think, whoa.
Yeah.
Because history is too often taught in a vacuum, where you're like, we're looking at this country in this 10-year period, and we're looking at it in isolation, and we're not thinking about anything else that happened before, after, or elsewhere. And that is mind-blowing. So that's a great fact there. I also saw Matt Quick had an interesting fact about leech brains.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah, Matt Quick said, my fact is that a leech has 32 brains, but all people care about is looks. I don't even know where to begin with that. Where does a leech keep its brains? They're not that big, are they? And why does it have so many?
And does what it do need, they do? Does it need all of them? Yeah. I mean, they may be smart, but I mean...
Yeah. Maybe there's a kind of secret society of leeches that we just don't know about because it's so well hidden, because they're so clever. We just think they're blood-sucking creatures that live in ponds, but actually, they've solved physics.
Wait. I've got it. Leeches are incredibly intelligent, right?
Yeah.
Because they've got 32 brains. Is that how many that you said they had? 32 brains.
That's what Matt Quick said, yeah.
So clearly, they are far superior beings to us, and they suck blood. So clearly, a leech's favorite film is going to be Morbius.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is a cinematic classic that is not appreciated in its own time.
Have you seen it?
I haven't, no. Have you seen Morbius?
No, and I'm not sure I'm going to.
I love all the kind of memes surrounding it, though. it's got Oscars written all over it.
After me, it has restored my faith in cinema audiences a little bit. Because at this point, even though I know Morbius is not officially an MCU film, it kind of is because everything's got the Marvel label on now and Sony is working with Marvel. But I was convinced it was going to be an easy $100 million in America, slam dunk, and it could possibly reach as high as $200 million if it were good enough. And then it's just fallen flat on its face. It's going to struggle to $80 million. And
it's going
to
get memed
into my faith in humanity. Yeah.
No, it's going to get memed into having a sequel. You watch this space. Also, I just want to say, Mr. Boston says this was pre-recorded. Was it Mr. Boston? Did I just predict that and we recorded this yesterday? Oh, could you imagine? And then Phil Tube says, no, it's not. So, yeah, Phil Tube, you're right on that one. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Phil Tube is one of us, isn't he? He knows.
He knows. Okay, he knows. So shall we get on to the main topic this week?
People might want, yeah, why not? Let's do that.
Do you think people would want us to? Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah, it was what I was going to say. Probably. They probably would. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, this is for the benefit of those people listening to this on a podcast platform later on and, seeing this as a shortened down version on YouTube, the full podcast will be available in the link in the description down below. Again, if you're listening to us now, then that is irrelevant to you. But yeah, okay, so let me take you through the mystery of the missing Nazi gold. So in the spring of 1945, advancing US forces captured the area of Germany known as Merkers, which was home to a sprawling salt mine. Hidden deep within this mine, 2,000 feet below the surface and several kilometers into its vast network of tunnels, was a nondescript room the Nazis simply called Number 8. When the American soldiers entered the room, they couldn't quite believe what they'd stumbled upon. A large cavern containing the lion's share of the Nazis' hidden wealth. It was one of the greatest treasure hoards ever assembled. Sacks upon sacks, filled with gold bars, many emblazoned with the Nazi swastika insignia. In total, the Allied forces found roughly 8,500 gold bars, worth a staggering $250 million in 1945, or $9 billion today, along with a further $7 billion worth of banknotes. However, this accounted for less than half of the gold Nazis stole over the course of the war. So the question remains, where is the rest of the Nazi gold? I'm sorry, Robin, I did a completely inadequate however then.
Oh no, it was fantastic. I loved it.
It's not as good as yours, and I'm sure everyone will attest to that.
Gosh. Before we get stuck in, I'd just like to recognize Claudia with a chance of flavor, who's just given us $2 for the Dick Turpin hunting film.
Oh, that's so kind.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Oh, that's so nice of you. So, Robin, what do you think? Going into this mystery initially, less than half of the Nazi gold that is thought that the Nazis stole over the course of the war was recovered in this raid of this underground salt mine location. Where do you think the rest of it is?
Well, it's worth mentioning where this gold came from. Most of this gold comes from victims of the Holocaust in countries that the Nazis invaded or cooperated with. Hungary, Austria, Poland, Czechoslovakia, those kinds of places, and particularly Jews. And not all of the stuff they stole from these people was gold or was golden objects that could be melted down into gold bars.
Absolutely.
To boost the bullion supplies of Nazi Germany. A lot of it was art, objects, silverware, fine crockery, you know, crystal objects. Yeah. So when we say that they found, you know, nearly $10 billion worth of gold, there was another $10 billion worth of gold known to have been stolen from their victims, and then another several billion dollars worth of art and artifacts that they took hidden somewhere. So the Nazis took a lot. And I don't know about you, but even if I were not as well prepared and, you know, kind of well resourced as the Nazis, I would not put everything into one location.
Absolutely. You know,
I would split it up. So
I think it's only kind of a very lucky happenstance that allowed for all of this gold to be stored in this location. I don't think it was stored here for very long. I think before this, it was in one of Germany's largest banks in Berlin. But when this was being, Berlin was being like bombed, the bank owner, coupled with some like government officials who I can't remember the name of, ordered that this be moved to a safer location, just like 300 kilometers southwest of the city. I think it was only by sheer luck that the Allies were able to find all of this Nazi gold compared with the rest of it anyway.
Yeah, in fact there's a story of American soldiers who were actually tasked with finding all this stolen gold only found this place, I think, because, or only found some of it because local villagers saw in the last stages of the war, some Nazi soldiers emerging from these caves holding big bags full of something. And they told the American soldiers, we think there's something hidden down there. And then they went looking for it, not expecting to find what they found.
Yeah.
And of course, they're also lucky because it is known that there were other caves systems where the Nazis were holding something which they were under instruction to blow up. And they did. And then the officers in charge of blowing up those locations never divulged what was actually in them. So it's lucky they found this, especially something as large as this, at all.
So there is a chance that a lot of the gold was destroyed. Is that what you're saying?
I think destroyed or buried, right?
Destroyed or buried, yeah.
I don't know how effective a stick of dynamite would be to a gold bar. I've never tried that experiment. I feel like gold is fairly solid, you know.
But also, like, if you were one of the soldiers ordered to blow up this room full of gold bars before the Allies got hold of it, you'd sneak a bar or two, wouldn't you?
I think so.
You'd sneak a couple into your shoes.
I think, when you've got that many thousands of gold bars in one cave, people aren't going to notice if a couple go missing.
And there are reports of American soldiers who, you know, sunk into temptation when they came into contact with this massive, massive treasure trove of Nazi gold. I think there were reports of people stealing, you know, a gold bar here or there, and they were dismissed or you know, arrested for thieving after the war.
Mm. There was one notable example who we can talk about in a minute. A very high-ranking American officer who ended up decorating his digs in Europe entirely with goods reclaimed from the Nazis. But before we delve further, I just want to give a shout out to Mr. Boston. Fist bump, gave us $3.
Thank you very much.
That's amazing. And looks like we've got a new member to the channel. Casual Gamer, welcome.
Welcome to the channel. Members sphere. Yeah.
As a member of the channel, you'll be able to join our Patreon supporters in exclusive video content just for you, recorded separately to these main podcasts. So much.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, casual gamer. We are also casual gamers, so there we go.
Yeah,
we
very casual that, in my case.
But Robin, I think it's easy to say that when this was discovered and maybe other caches of Nazi gold, it's clear that little bits here and there were probably taken and melted down by soldiers and are probably hanging up in veterans' homes all across the world. But are there any large caches of Nazi gold like this one still out there, possibly undiscovered to this day? And one of the ones that people tend to talk to, and there's quite a lot, like, there's some good evidence to suggest that something may be down there, is Lake Toplitz.
Okay.
Have you heard of this?
I have, yeah.
So, legend has it that the Nazis dumped billions of dollars worth of stolen gold in the area of $5.6 billion into the waters of Lake Toplitz, an isolated lake located in the heart of a lush forest in the Alps, in Austria, I believe. There may be some legitimacy to this claim. So in the 1940s, the Nazis used the lake as a naval testing site and the mountains surrounding it as a retreat area for military officers. In 1959, after the war, investigators recovered £700 million of counterfeit notes from the lake that Hitler had planned on using to sabotage Britain's economy. So this was an operation called Operation Bernhard that the Nazis devised to completely crash the UK's economy.
As in, is that the German name Bernhard, not burn hard, as in give him a hard burn?
Yes, it's Bernhard, but I don't know what that means in German.
It's just a name, right?
It's just a name, anyway. Yeah. But not Bernhard. Let's burn it hard. that'd be a bit weird. That was an operation they had to completely crash Britain's economy by just flooding Britain with counterfeit notes.
It's
an interesting story aside from this anyway.
Yeah. But that's proof positive that there was more than just naval exercises going on Lake Toplitz.
Exactly. If they'd hidden this down there, what else could be down there?
Yeah.
And there's an extraordinary amount of difficulty actually getting down there to have a look. And that's because the logistics of getting down there are really challenging. It's 300 feet deep, and about halfway down, there's layers of logs covering the entire area almost. And people have died going looking.
At
least five people have drowned whilst attempting to get to the bottom and having a look at what's down there. I think the last time there was a proper excavation of the lake was in 2005.
Right.
When a team got permission from the Austrian government to have a miniature submarine go down there. But I think even then they struggled to get past this layer of logs, and it was inconclusive. So really, there could be some kind of treasure trove at the bottom of this lake that no one's uncovered. And also, unlike other treasure troves where I feel like, I don't know, history might have buried it deeper underground, or someone may have found it and melted it down in secret. This is probably one of the most likely, if it was ever there, to still be there.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, that sounds very plausible. I agree with you entirely. If there is something down there, and that's a big if, then it's going to still be there. Chances of somebody having secretly found it and taken it away, highly unlikely, just because it's such an operation to get down there. And then if you find something substantial, $1 billion worth of gold, you're not going to be able to easily lift it out in secret without a big operation. So I think if there is something down there, it's still there. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
The question is, would they dump it there? I mean, to be honest, with the Nazis, it's tempting to say they're capable of anything. You know, I would never underestimate the Nazis.
It seems like such a logistical issue to actually, even in 2005, to get to the bottom of this lake to find out if anything's down there. Yeah, would they? Because surely they would put it down there with the hopes that they could come back later and get it.
Yeah, well, this goes back to what I was saying about how there are known examples of caves containing something in the mountains in Germany and Austria that Nazi officers in charge of safekeeping destroyed the entrances, brought mountains down on top of, literally. And the sole purpose was to, middle finger to the Allies. And of course, sorry, I should say, the victims from whom they took all this stuff. It was saying, you will never get your goods back, and you will never know exactly what we did. So I can see in the last stages of the war, maybe that kind of fanatical officer saying, we're going to dump all this gold, and all the Nazi soldiers doing the actual dumping, crying tears of sadness as they just tipped it into the lake, knowing it would never be recovered.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think?
I agree. I think that makes sense. And Doom in the chat has quoted you, Robin. It's quite an unfortunate quote. I would never underestimate the Nazis, Robin 2022.
Okay, that could be worse.
That could be worse.
That's a wise piece of advice, I'm going to say.
Also,
if it's on my tombstone, it'll be bad, but hey.
Also, I just want to say Cloudy with a Chance of Flavor has joined the membership on our YouTube channel. So thank you so much, Cloudy with a Chance of Flavor.
Thank you.
That's very kind of you. Well, this isn't the only possible cache of stolen Nazi gold the Nazis may have hidden. One popular theory that emerged in the last few years, it's been a bit quiet in the last couple of years, but for a while there it was making a lot of attention worldwide. So in the final days of World War II, a train allegedly left a station in eastern Poland. I did look up how you pronounce this. It's Wolbork. How do you pronounce it? Wolbork?
How's it spelled?
It's Walbrzych.
Yes.
Yes. I think that's... Anyway.
Something like that.
In eastern Poland. So a train left a station there, heavily laden with gold, jewelry, and artifacts, all looted by the Nazis during the war. It was driven into a system of tunnels under the Owl Mountains in the south and was never seen again. It was supposedly buried in a warren of mines and tunnels created by the Nazis as part of a secret project. And despite several high-profile searches in the area, this mystery Nazi gold train has yet to be discovered. But in 2015, and this was what made this theory regain popularity, two men named Peter Koper and Andreas Richter hit the headlines because they claimed to have evidence that the train existed, and they showed a photo taken with ground-penetrating radar taken near the city that allegedly showed an armored train, under the ground. And they were in the news seeking permission from the government to excavate the site, which they did eventually secure. However, they dug the area out in 2016 where the photos were taken, and it was actually discovered to be a natural ice formation.
Yeah. Well, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I think there are reports that this train did leave the station at this specific time, laden with all of these gold and jewelry. So maybe it exists somewhere, or maybe it was just going to another, stash somewhere else, and it could possibly be part of the stash that was discovered.
Yeah, well, that's what's interesting about it, is that there is a precedent for this, which is the Hungarian gold train, which is the gold train discovered, or intercepted, I should say, by the Allies in the final stages of World War II that was transporting all the stuff the Nazis had looted from Hungary. And it was meant to be hidden, but it was luckily intercepted by the Allies. And on the train was at least, I think, the equivalent of $4 billion worth of goods in today's money. But even that has a mystery attached to it, because it didn't just contain gold and valuable objects. It also contained loads of art. About 200 paintings, and we know this because they have the records of the itinerary, or the inventory, that the Nazi officer leading the train had with him. And when they intercepted the train, although the inventory said there were 200 paintings, those paintings were nowhere to be found on the train.
Mm.
And as far as we know, they've been lost to history, and there are people still trying to track them down today. So there's a precedent for this kind of thing. We do know that the Nazis were transporting gold in large amounts, not just a few hundred thousand dollars worth, but billions of dollars worth, on single trains, huge trains with hundreds of soldiers on, across Europe in the final stages of the war. So it's quite plausible, I think, this myth of the Nazi gold train. It's quite plausible. And as you said at the beginning of this whole discussion, an estimate, and it's admittedly a rough estimate, of the amount that the Nazis stole, only half of it has been recovered. Yeah. So the other half is out there somewhere.
Yeah, it's an important point to make as well that these are only rough estimates. But I think that is enough of a distinction that at the time, you know, all the world powers were basically sure that they hadn't recovered, you know, anywhere near the amount that had been stolen.
And even if they're out by a few hundred million dollars, you're still just talking about a significant amount of goods and gold. Very recently, in the last couple of years, historians uncovered a stash of documents that was actually being held in the safekeeping of a secret society in Poland. Yeah, I know. Actually true. It was a secret society who had dealings with the Nazis. They cooperated with them in Poland throughout the Second World War. And the SS officers, or an SS officer, entrusted all his documents to the secret society shortly before he was arrested by the Allies. And they buried these documents so deeply that the secret society claim they didn't know about them until a couple of years ago. And then they found them again.
Wow.
Historians doing some research, and they handed them over to the authorities. And when translating these letters, they found one letter from the SS officer to his lover in Poland, who was in the town where the secret society was based. And this letter talks about I think it's not just gold, but definitely mentions gold, the dozens of chests of goods and gold that the SS officer brought to that village, that town. And the letter says, "I've buried it where you told me to. The location is yours to know."
Wow.
And apparently, in total, this stash of documents reveals 11 locations where gold has been buried. And they started looking for it in 2020 in the grounds of an 18th century mansion, a palace.
Excellent.
Actually,
nice.
In Poland. Now, of course, because the SS officers would only live in the best places. So they believe that at least one of these 11 stashes is in this 18th century palace on the ground somewhere. But that's the latest news. They haven't announced that they found it yet, and they haven't said where the other 10 locations are. So
if you were the secret society, do you think they'd translated this and were hunting it down themselves? Ooh. Or do you think they're kicking themselves that for decades they didn't even bother with like translating these?
You know, if I were a secret society,
I mean, yeah, you're a secret society. Absolutely.
That's what I would do. Yeah, absolutely. I'd say, "Oh, look, we've just found these things. Here, we'll give them to you as atonement for cooperating with the Nazis and the evils that they did. We'll give these up to the government, and then you can go find all the gold and the treasures that the Nazis hid. We didn't know where they were at all. We never bothered to translate these letters." Yeah, you're right. You're right. And actually, as an aside, going back to Indiana Jones, I'm really hoping that the next movie involves the Nazi gold train in some capacity.
Do you think they will?
I'm hoping for it. Only in a mild way, but I think it might. I think a Nazi train full of treasure, I think, will be involved in some capacity. But
there's a bit of a lower stakes than the previous entries, though. Just a Nazi gold train.
Oh, I don't think it'll be the main thing.
The Ark of the Covenant or aliens.
Yeah. No, I think it'll just be like the opening teaser or something.
Yeah, the nuke in the fridge.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Yeah. Some interesting ideas floating around in the comments. Atari Duckman says, If the treasure was buried in East Poland, the Soviets would have taken it for sure. Do you think that's a possibility that maybe Soviet Union got their hands on this and kept it hidden from the rest of the world?
So here's the thing. The Soviets actually had their own very long-running program. So for all the bad things that the Soviet Union did, they did a few good things when money was involved. And they actually had an entire program which was dedicated to, for decades, trying to find all the treasures that the Nazis had plundered from the people living in the countries that became part of the Soviet Union at the end of World War II. Places like Poland and East Germany and like Czechoslovakia and the whole of Eastern Europe, essentially. Obviously, they were motivated by the fact that it was money belonging to people that were now in their territory. So, hey, more money, please. But they actually did have this program. They didn't find much. But then, of course, we get into the area of how much do you believe the official story from the Soviet government? So they had this program, which was definitely doing hard work to try to find all these lost treasures. But they claim they didn't find much.
Yeah, but of course, a bit convenient, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the Soviets. Do you trust them? I don't know.
Well, speaking of world governments and large organizations, shall we move on to... That's a pretty thin segue there, but shall we move on to another theory of what happened to all this Nazi gold?
Oh, yes, please.
It's almost the most boring one. But it's... And I think possibly the most realistic one where the majority of this gold ended up. In banks, and particularly Swiss banks and other banks that were still trading with the Axis powers during the war. So in an effort to remain neutral, Switzerland continued to trade with the Axis powers during the war, and large Swiss banks, along with companies such as Nestle, just if you needed another reason to hate Nestle, accepted Nazi gold, knowing full well, you know, the atrocities that had to have happened for that gold to be obtained. So at the end of the war, global attention turned towards these private vaults in the Swiss Alps, and Allied forces demanded that Swiss banks turn over any Nazi gold that had been hidden away. And these banks resisted initially, but eventually there was an international agreement called the Washington Agreement of 1946, which passed, and the Swiss banks eventually had to hand over $60 million worth, or $60 million to the families of the victims of the Nazi regime, which was not a huge amount with the quantity that we're talking about. In 1962, a law was passed which forced banks to identify accounts that remained dormant and reclaim that money. So this wasn't necessarily just, you know, people that Nazis that had accounts with these banks, but through this law, a further $15 million was recovered. So this just showed that the previous rule was completely inadequate. Yeah. And who knows how much was left over after this. Yeah. Then in 1996, the World Jewish Council formed an independent committee to investigate the involvement of Swiss banks during the war, and they found they had accepted over 100 tons of Nazi gold and paid only 4 tons back.
Wow.
And I think there was a huge lawsuit in the early 2000s. And I think there was a huge amount, a large amount that was paid back, like several billion. But ultimately, after 60 years of having this gold and this money, and I think it was still just not, couldn't possibly pay back.
Well, gold isn't traceable, can you?
Yeah.
I think, I remember, maybe it was a different lawsuit, but I thought that case was dismissed on the grounds that the plaintiffs acknowledged that the Swiss banks hadn't themselves taken the gold. They'd been given gold, assuming it was, legitimate.
Oh, right. But, but they kind of
obviously at the time they knew. But officially they say, oh, you've got all this gold. Sure. We'll bank it for you. Even if they know where it's coming from, you know, no questions asked. So I think maybe they settled that. There was also another repository for some of the gold, perhaps. And this is a rumor which is strongly denied by the organization to this very day. But in 1996, at the same time as that committee was formed, a document was declassified from American intelligence. I think it was called the Bigelow Report.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And this was written in 1946 by a U.S. intelligence agent called Bigelow. And in that report, he claimed that agents in Europe had told him that the Vatican had confiscated to look after 350 million Swiss francs worth of Nazi gold, which is like, I think nearly 2 billion today. Yeah, over over 1.5 billion. And the British had confiscated about 150, impounded 150 million of those francs at the Swiss border, because clearly they were policing the borders, and the British got 150 million of it, but that still left 200 million unaccounted for. And apparently separate intelligence reports by agents in Europe, from separate reports from the Bigelow report, claimed that the Vatican had taken in about 200 million Swiss francs worth of gold in 1945.
Wow.
Coincidence?
Yeah.
But the Vatican Bank still denies to this day that they ever took any Nazi gold and banked it.
Yeah.
Of course, they also banked with the mafia back in the 70s. So they have a history of doing the right thing, don't they?
Well, as Mr. Boston says in the comments, if you melt it down, put a new stamp on it, good as new. I wonder how much of that was going on around this time. You know, it's not Nazi gold. It doesn't have a swastika on it. It's absolutely fine. Yeah.
Almost certain. I mean, I'd like to say that I don't know what happened to the 150 million Swiss francs worth of Nazi gold that was impounded by the British.
Yeah.
I have a feeling it was not returned. You know?
It's a sad story. And it's, you know, of all the millions of victims of the war, this is just an inconvenient and sad reality that a lot of, you know, the people's families didn't get the payments that they were owed at the end of it. You know, the money that was stolen from them was just shared amongst large companies and corporations around the world.
Yeah, they're always the winners, you know.
Or as Cloudy with a Chance of Flavor suggests in the comments, Nazi UFOs landed in Antarctica and kept it away until global warming finds it. So there's another theory.
Yeah, that's also a possibility.
Cloudy with a Chance of Flavor has also donated us $2. Thank you very much.
Wow. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Oh, and yes. And they've said, yet we still have Volkswagen.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true.
Oh, yeah. If it works. It's sad, isn't it? Because obviously it's sad and worse things were done to these people. But the confiscation, the theft, I should say, sorry, the outright theft of their property is one of the lasting tragedies. Because obviously a whole generation of people was wiped out, and that's horrific. And the memories of that linger with their descendants. But you haven't just killed those people, but you've stopped the survivors from living the life that their predecessors, their ancestors, their families built. Intending to leave to them, and there's artworks that have been lost. There's artworks in museums that are still being claimed by relatives. There's countries like Hungary with all the stuff that was found on that Nazi train of Hungarian gold. Hungary was saying, "Please give it back to us. Give it back to us." And America had it and was like, "We're just gonna investigate first and do our own thing."
Yeah,
and a lot of it didn't find its way back, even though they had a policy of returning stolen goods to the countries that they came from. If they couldn't find the families, which thanks to the Holocaust, a lot of the time they couldn't find the families. And yeah, as you say, gold is untraceable, easily melted down and turned into something else. Art is disputable because the Nazis didn't keep records of the people they took it from. So it's very, very tragic. This feels like a really pathetic, useless thing to say. The Holocaust was tragic. World War II was tragic, and I can't put it any other way because it's just the ultimate horror and tragedy, you know.
So what about like those large stashes? Do you believe, and this goes for everyone in the comments as well, do you believe that there are any large stashes like the one that we spoke about at the beginning of this segment that are still out there to the day, maybe buried somewhere, that remain unfound, and they're undisturbed for this whole time since the end of the war?
There must be some. I'd like to think there's some.
Not as big,
there must be
maybe.
Some. Yeah, I think that must be the biggest. But if that was barely half of it, the other half must be somewhere. I think a lot of it, as you say, is in the banks. Other countries took it. But there must be some that was never found. What do you think?
I think there is, yeah. I think there must be. As Waffles Plus in the comments says, likely any unfound gold is in shipwrecks, which we haven't spoken about. But yeah, shipwrecks.
That's true. Yeah.
There were quite a few shipwrecks of Nazi ships allegedly carrying lots of jewelry and weapons and gold. So yeah, that is a real possibility as well. Mm. Whether the chances of actually finding that kind of thing, though, I feel like is way less likely than if it was just buried somewhere in Europe. But it's an interesting topic all the same. Let us know in the comments what you thought of this topic. And if you have any other ideas for what you would like to see us discuss in future podcasts, do let us know. Sadly, Robin, as there's just the two of us this week, we can't do a quiz. Although,
oh, no.
I have been looking at possible ways in future that we could do a live quiz with everyone involved. But it's going to take some prep work and stuff on our part.
Yeah.
But fingers crossed, next time we can do a quiz if there's all three of us here.
The quiz shall return when all three of us return.
But yeah, as I said again, if you're listening to this on a podcast platform of your choice, feel free to come and watch us live on YouTube. If you come over to our youtube.com/justinteresting and subscribe, you'll be alerted next time we go live with one of these podcasts.
Yeah. And you can also see us live on Twitch at twitch.tv/just_interesting.
That's the one. I think I messed it up earlier. Yeah.
No, I don't know if you did. It sounded good to me at the time. But yeah, especially Alex, he's the big gamer, but we all do a bit of gaming live on Twitch, and subscribe to us there and you will get notified whenever we are live online.
Exactly. Well, thanks everyone in the comments for tuning in to this week's podcast. And as always, we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.